you can belittle someone else.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about. It's not so much, hey, we're great. Let's belittle Alabama. Let's belittle LSU.
Someone did mention that the little tiny street that runs off of Houston in front of the Bright Building is actually named for John David.
Oh, is it? So I didn't know that.
But that's not really a street.
What's that called?
Yeah, it's that's what I was going to say.
I always look up.
It's not really a street.
Yeah,
it's like a tiny cul-de-sac. So
that's like I can't find a Billy Picker passway. I don't see that word. I mean, I want to see the name.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for the text on clarifying that. We're going to take a break. We come back in the second hour. We're going to take another different angle on a guy that coached with John David Crow.
Yeah.
So we're going to get his thoughts on him as well. So you won't want to miss that. Stay with us. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Your favorite team, the Yankees, Astros, Rangers, and Texans, all play on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. This is KZNE, KMDHD3, and KMDHD4, K274CM. College Station Bryan.
I'm Brett Jackerman. Dustin Johnson is off and running at the U.S. Open. A terrific round so far. He's through 16. It's been a bogey-free round. He is at 6-under with a three-shot lead over Henrik Stenson and Patrick Reed. Phil Mickelson got off to a good start. He was at 4-under at one point during his opening round, but three bogeys on the back nine, and he had a chance at a par putt on 18, but missed it and winds up at 1-under 69 for the opening round. Also today, Bubba Watson, an even 70 for round one, and defending champ Martin Keimer at 2-over, while Rory McIlroy is even through 15 thus far. The Hawks are reportedly set to part ways with GM Danny Ferry and promote head coach Mike Budenholzer to president. He'll partner with Wes Wilcox in the front office. Budenholzer was the NBA's coach of the year this past year and will remain in that role. Wilcox handled the personnel moves this year in Ferry's absence. Baseball action right now. The Twins knocked off the Cardinals by a score of 2-1. Kenny Vargas with a home run to win it. His fourth of the season, just underway in scoreless. The A's and Padres in Oakland. Also a final today. It was Philadelphia rallying for a 2-1 victory over Baltimore and a home run by Ryan Howard, his 12th of the season. Right now, top of the third, Colorado off to a good start, leading the Astros 3-1. Preston Tucker opened the scoring with his fourth home run, and Carlos Gonzalez answered with his 10th for the Rockies. And bottom of the second in Arizona, no score between the Diamondbacks and the Angels. I'm Rich Ackerman.
This is Ann Liguori for the latest on the U.S. Open. Listen to my live reports on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Ziner with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by RP Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. Thunderbolts Track Club is for youth 8 to 18 years old with all levels of experience in track and field events and distance running. The program runs now through August 1st. The Brazos Valley African American Museum is celebrating Juneteenth tomorrow morning, beginning with the storytelling session at 11. At 2 p.m., they have a Young Entrepreneurs Forum and the movie Selma at 6 that evening. Sunday marks the first annual Hearn Fishing Derby. All Robertson County children are invited to this free event. 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Eastside Park. Equipment will be supplied. Chance of rain today is 100%, but that could be out of the area by now. High is going to be 84. Tonight, overnight, a 60% chance of continuing thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 75. Stay connected with Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. For the latest information on all the shows, the scores for all the games, and event information, follow at twitter.com/zone1150.
Hey, where's the best place to search for homes for sale?
TexasRealEstate.com.
So what's a good website to learn how to buy a house?
That would also be TexasRealEstate.com.
Okay, what about finding a realtor?
Again, TexasRealEstate.com.
Really? Well, maybe this all-powerful site can, I don't know, make my down payment?
Well, if you...
Come on.
No. I'm just saying if you go to TexasRealEstate.com, you can search for buyer assistance programs.
You're saying TexasRealEstate.com has all the information I need.
That is what I'm saying.
Is it reliable?
Yeah. The Texas Association of Realtors built this site so buyers and sellers would have everything they need.
I could learn about a term like escrow.
Yes.
Find a Texas realtor who speaks Italian?
Sure.
Search for homes in your school district?
Why not?
Built in the last 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
With 5 bedrooms,
yes.
3 baths.
Yeah, look, just go to TexasRealEstate.com. You'll find what you're looking for about real estate in Texas.
Maybe a 3-car garage.
Yeah.
And a roller coaster on the roof.
No roller coasters. Almost everything.
Hobby Bridge is an Aggieland tradition, serving their mouth-watering food for over 20 years to the folks of the Brazos Valley. And they want to invite you to enjoy a burger that you've come to know and love, which has been named Best of the Brazos for over a decade. And enjoy their award-winning goodness with $1.75 drafts all day, every Wednesday at both locations. Hobby Bridge, serving Aggieland the best big burger in town for over 2 decades. On Harvey and Welburn, both in College Station.
Come stand with the 12th man at all Texas A&M athletic events. You make a difference for our student athletes in our venues. Tickets are available at 888-99-AGGIE or visit 12thman.com/tickets. Thanks and gig 'em. Aggie fans, Texas A&M Athletics is always just a few clicks away on your digital device. Stay connected by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Visit 12thman.com/social media for a complete social media directory.
About your favorite local teams with your favorite local hosts. 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays on Zone FM 102.7.
All right.
And Sports Radio 1150.
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome back. It's the second hour. We are brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the events coming to you. The season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Lots of cool events there. Check that out. Again, mscopus.org. You can text us 229-1939. What's on your mind today? Let us know. We are talking John David Crowe here on the show today. And Cish, you had a good idea earlier. We talked about Bob Anderson was the SID at Northeast Louisiana, which is now Louisiana Monroe, about working with John David Crowe, the coach, and a little bit John David Crowe, the administrator, from what he talked about. We're joined now by a guy that coached under John David Crowe, and that is Lou St. Amant. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, Lou.
That's good.
Thanks for joining us today. You coached with John David Crowe, and we know around here John David Crowe, the person. We heard from Gene Stallings about John David Crowe, the player, and R.C. Slocum about John David Crowe, the athletic director and the friend and that kind of stuff. What can you tell us about John David Crowe, the coach?
Well, all I can tell you is in 1975, I was fortunate enough to win the state championship in football. And, you know, holidays came, and I was sitting in my office back in Lutcher High School in 76 there, and he called me on the phone. And nothing but business, you know. told me who he was. He liked to talk to me about position on his staff, and said if I could come to Monroe, he would appreciate it. And so I did. I came, and that spring he hired me about a week after that, January about the 7th, I went to work for him. One thing about Coach Crowe, you always knew where he would stand on any deal that came up, you know, and he was good to work for because you always knew where he stood. It was no gray area. It was either this or that, and real good to work for and always was helpful in doing things. And then he got me to playing Texas A&M in baseball, and then in about 80, I guess it was his last year, he said, look, we're going to build a baseball stadium. You're in charge. He said, get the architect, get on out there to A&M if you like that facility, check it out, and sort of build the one you like here in Monroe. So, and I plans that in 83 there are similar to the ones that A&M had when Coach Chandler was there. But he was a great guy to coach for. And he was hard to coach for. I might add that, because if you made a mistake, he'd let you know about it.
Well, I was going to say, because Bob just, when we talked to Bob, he brought up something that he said he told the coaches you can leave those golf clubs behind. So would kind of tell me that was a, he was pretty work-oriented.
Yeah, he was. And you know, he could go play, but we couldn't go play. You see, and I coached two sports for him, so I was busy year-round with him for football and baseball. And the only thing I requested when he hired me for that job was, I want to go to the baseball team when we start in the spring. He said, that's fine. So when that first year when spring came around, he said, well, I think I need you to go with, come with us in football. I said, Coach, you know the promise you made. Okay, I'll stand by my promise. But once he told you something, that's how it was. And he was a great guy to work for. And tough, and could get things done, and that was the most important part at that time when we came in, because it was in dire straits in '76 when we came here to at NLU, whenever it was then, and where we are today. But he improved, got the football stadium built, got the baseball stadium built, and changed some of the booster club action. So he was good to work for, hard but good and fair.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, and a lot of times guys who are so good at a sport have a hard time coaching that sport, especially coaching players not as good as they are. What was he like with the players? I mean, how would they describe him, and how was he with them?
You know, coming from San Diego, he was a coordinator there in offense when he took the job here. And that first spring, I'd go to meetings, you know, and sometimes go to practice after we'd finish baseball practice. And I thought, you know, he thought there should have been the San Diego Chargers out there, but we weren't. So we had a long way to go. And he took it sometimes, you know, thinking that the guys should know more than they knew. And he had to make that adjustment. He did a great job of that, coming back down and coaching on a college level. But he always knew what he was talking about, and the players appreciated that.
Was he the kind to say, you know, here's how I did it, or talk about himself when he would coach, or did he try to remove that?
Here's the best way. Here's how we ought to be doing this, or this is the way we should be doing this, you know. And you have to do it his way now. He was tough on him.
Now, what about when we know from over here, our side, about how he's so reverent in the A&M Heisman Trophy winner, what so much he's meant to the program, but friends I have in Louisiana, he's so reverent over there as well. What made him so reverent to the Louisiana folks over there, do you feel?
Well, you know, he's from Louisiana, went to Texas A&M and won that Heisman Trophy, and then played pro ball and came back to Louisiana. His folks, his mom and dad used to live over above Shreveport there, and he always came back, and all people enjoyed him quite a bit. And I thought he went to Alabama and all that, but I thought the people here just kept that name. You know, it just kept flowing around. When you win that Heisman, it just stays with you. And then when we named him the head coach here, you know, it was unbelievable here that first year.
Any particular game or incident when you heard that Coach Crow had passed, anything, a bus trip or a moment that just a few moments stick out in your mind?
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you one, because I was in charge of kickers and watching the other kickers from the other team. We were playing Tulsa, I guess it was, in the first year or second year here. And we had the football at the end of the game. John Cooper was the head coach at Tulsa then.
Wow.
And this guy that pregame was pretty good field goal kicker, and we had the ball, and we were trying to run the clock out. And I kept telling him, I said, Coach, don't go backwards, because he can still boom. You're going to get too close, and he's going to kick a field goal. So about the third time I told him, he said, don't worry about it. We got it. Well, they got the football, and he kicked about a 52-yard field goal to beat us. And then after the game, he told me, he said, should have listened, huh? I said, yes, sir. But he was that kind of guy, you know, and always, he was demanding of the coaches and demanding of the players. He wanted you to do everything right. He wanted you to go to school. He wanted to treat your parents right. And just a great guy to work for. I owe everything to him. He hired me out of high school, and I stayed here for 18 years, and I still live here in Monroe. I did radio. Interviewed him one time when we played over there in football. I was doing the radio. Interviewed him at halftime, and came back. He came back for Hall of Fame that he was inducted here, and had been back another time. So, you know, he's well respected in the area. One thing, though, when he said something, that was it. That was the law.
And I was going to say, then your coaching career, how much of an influence do you feel that John David Crow had in you?
Well, the biggest thing, I think, you know, he wanted you to be fair with the players, but be tough on them, too. And 18 years of coaching baseball here, and one thing, you know, we had some players that went on and played in the major leagues and whatnot, but the thing he always told us, he said, they're here to get an education. Make sure of that. So, you know, I kind of harped on that the whole 18 seasons that I was out at ULM, and finished there, and I think about 83% of my guys graduated. So that was pretty good. And he was big on that. Wanted you to get up, go to class, and do right. No problems on campus. And he started a training table when we got there, and kids had to get up in the morning and go to breakfast. He said, I don't care if you eat, but you're going to get up and check in at the table. So we did that, and that really got them up, you know, and got them to class and whatnot. So we had a lot of work to do when we came, I can tell you.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what was he like, you know, when the season was over, and or maybe it's the middle of summer, and away from the game a little bit? I mean, maybe did he get away from the game a little bit, or was he always thinking about it? Or what was he like, you know, away from the field?
Oh, he was great. You know, we'd have gatherings with coaches and other community members all summer. And, you know, and I was busy recruiting a lot because he'd call me on the road and said, look, how about going by this school and check this guy out, you know, this coach out, see what he's got, get some film and whatnot, you know. But he always was involved with something in the area and played golf. He liked his golf, now, no doubt about it. And everybody wanted to play with John David Crow.
What was he like when he was recruiting? What would he go in there and tell the parents or the players that made him an effective recruiter? I know earlier Bob said the recruiting really picked up at Monroe when he was there. What was his message? What would he go in there? What would he tell the families?
Well, he would be truthful. You know, this is where we are. This is where we want to be. And we think that you can help us get there. And we're going to give you a chance to play some football and also get an education, and basically that was it. He didn't pull many punches, and he said, this is your offer, and we'll give you a certain period of time to tell us if you're going to take it or not. But all the parents, you know, you go in the houses with him, it's kind of in awe, because some of the parents, you know, grew up listening to him, watching him play football in the NFL or when he was at Texas A&M. So it was real eye struck, I can tell you that. Some people said when you introduce him, oh, John David Crow, you know, and he was great. He had that respect, as you all said earlier there.
Yeah, R.C. Slocum was on with us, and he mentioned that he didn't like to talk about himself or his accomplishments much. But so did the players know who he was when he would come in and first start recruiting him?
Oh, yes. They knew he was, and when they visited Malone Stadium that he built when he was here for football, he had his Heisman Trophy in the lobby. So they knew who John David Crow was. If they didn't know coming in, they knew going out.
What was the biggest thing that you know that you took away from him as far as your career in coaching and being around people or whatever that was? That, you know, if you had to say his legacy, not necessarily to Monroe, but to you personally, what would that be?
Well, you know, I think he taught me to, you know, be fair to kids, but have be tough on discipline. You know, just give them their chance, give them their due, you know, stay with them, but be tough on the discipline and on that education here at ULM. That's what he wanted us to do, you know. And he respected us. You know, I wouldn't even be in a building during the spring, and he'd have to call me sometimes to go over there and want to talk to me about a certain problem. And I'd give him my side of the story. He'd call the parents, and he would stick with the coaches, you know. But you have to be on your toes with Coach Crow. He was great. I love working for him because, you know, I was a head coach in high school, and I expected the guys that worked under me to also be like that. You know, I'm the coach. We're going to do it this way, and that's what he expected.
There we go. I want to thank you for being on with us, Lou. Some great stuff there, and another side of John David Crow that not a lot of us got to see over here in Aggieland. Thanks for taking the time to be with us
all
tonight.
All right. Now, well, we want to wish Carol and her family our deepest sympathy on the loss of John David.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Thank you, Lou.
All right. Thank you.
Well, by seeing different viewpoints, and that's a viewpoint that I hadn't heard before. Somebody coached underneath him. Getting back to what RC said, you tie it all together. No nonsense. This is who I am. This is what we're going to do. I mean, just pretty cut and dried. I mean, A to B to C to D. And you, when he was talking, you're just saying that's John David Crow. If you knew him, that's the way he would have done things. I mean, hard work and get an education, get the kids up. No off the field problems. What a shocker! But that's who John David Crow was.
And you can feel the strings of Bear Bryant through John David Crow as well, with the way that he mentioned them, getting the kids up, coming to the table, get everyone together, and all that kind of stuff. I think it's interesting how the coach before him kind of led into what he did as
sure.
well.
Sure, yeah.
Let's go to break. Well, when we come back, we'll kind of wrap up this part of the show before the high school report. A little bit of A&M news to talk about. They've released some game times for the early season. We'll talk about that when we come back. So stay with us. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done, and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Norman G. Tractor. At Norman G. Tractors, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Norman G. Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Priced with a $300 factory rebate, $700 implement rebate, and a $500 cash rebate, making your price $18,895 or $247 per month. Norman G. Tractor asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Norman G. Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor, so now is the time to make the drive to Norman G. Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials too at normangtractor.com. Norman G. Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G., Texas. And remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor.
Can you see clearly while driving? If your vision is hindered by chips and cracks in your windshield, come see Acme Glass today at either one of our two locations. Or if time won't allow, Acme Glass can come to you with their mobile on-site installation. Acme Glass also offers state inspections and free chip repair and lifetime warranty on your windshield purchased from Acme. With over 60 years of service in the Brazos Valley, that's Acme Glass.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Schulte Roofing, Team Auto, and Subway. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone HD.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Hello.
For more information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150, visit Zone1150.com now.
Welcome back. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. You know, earlier we had a lot of stuff we're going to maybe talk about today. We're going to do it all tomorrow. Today's show has been really all about John David Crow. But I thought, you know, not that we knew what kind of what Gene Stallings and R.C. Slocum were going to say, and obviously they were around him a lot. But I thought that the loose state of mind was awesome. I wanted to kind of take a second time out, you know, a different side of John David Crow. As he called him, Coach Crow. Not a lot of people think
Coach
about that side of him, but that was interesting to hear about. I will say he coached exactly how I would have expected. You know, being that he was a Bryant guy and played for the Bear, then you know to go back and coach like
do
that.
Do it his way.
Yeah.
Do it this way. Think of the kids first. Get them to school.
What's funny is he looks like my John David Crow looks like my granddad a little bit, and I've always kind of joked around with my granddad about that. My granddad played at Oklahoma back when it was Oklahoma A&M, with the same time that John David Crow was at A&M, and he used to talk about him being one of the greatest players and all that kind of stuff. But it's funny because it's to hear the kind of way that he talked to players and stuff reminds me so much of my granddad. It was kind of the same way. You know, he's funny because when you're a kid, your grandparents spoil you. Whatever, but as you get older, you learn to realize that when my granddad says something, there's no like coded message. You don't have to like read it. That's what he meant to say. And that's what I thought was kind of funny.
It's not like, what did you mean, granddad? You knew exactly what granddad was talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. And that was sounded like the same way. So again, it was good to hear that side from Lou St. Amon. And I want to thank him for coming on and talking to us. A little bit of, I don't even, this is like sort of news, I guess, but they just announced the kickoff for A&M's first three games of next season. Two of them you'd be happy to hear. One of them maybe not. The first game of the year, the Arizona State game, will kick off at 6 o'clock on Saturday, September 5th, down in Houston. And that game will be on ESPN, which we kind of expected. It's one of the bigger games that week.
Yeah. Elvin, hour to keep everybody get into the game before Wisconsin-Alabama kickoff on ABC. That
right.
was the. But I'm saying it's a great time for A&M.
And then the second game of the year will be Ball State. That will be the home opener. You know, the new Kyle Field. That game will be 6 o'clock as well on ESPNU. Which is fine. I mean, the channel doesn't really matter.
You got Oklahoma and Tennessee playing an hour before on ESPN, and then you have LSU and Mississippi State playing late on ESPN. Late.
And then the one that people might not like, but it's because it's on the SEC Network, the September 19th game against Nevada will be at 11 a.m. On the SEC Network here at Kyle Field. That's going to be a hot one, I imagine. But, again, just a little bit of news there for you. The first two games, 6 o'clock. Third game, 11 a.m.
And if you want to think it's tough on the 11 a.m. game, well, first of all, it's going to be great to get out of the way because then you can watch A&M win that game and get home and watch Ole Miss play Alabama or you got Texas Tech and Arkansas, and you've got, like I said, Ole Miss and Alabama is the late game in South Carolina and Georgia. So great night games.
Yeah, I'm trying to find some real quick. I think we have a statement from Johnny Manziel on the passing of John David Crow. I'm trying to pull that up real quick. You know, we talk about one of the things. Okay, I got it real quick. It said Aggieland lost a hero today with the passing of John David Crow. He was a legend on the field and a gentleman off it. My family and I were fortunate to have spent some time with Mr. Crow, and he shared some great stories about winning his Heisman Trophy. He couldn't have been nicer or more encouraging. He will always remain Mr. Aggie Football at Texas A&M. That is Johnny Manziel's statement from the Cleveland Browns and from John McClain of the NFL Network, or NFL.com, that put that out. Not a lot of people like John David Crow is what I've got from today's show, Cease. And anytime it feels like we've had maybe too many of these shows lately, Billy Pickard, Homer Jacobs.
Billy Pickard, Homer Jacobs, Charlie Thomas, the longtime track coach at A&M. And, so you're right. We had these shows.
It feels like too many of these lately, but always interesting, you know, especially I've already told everybody, I mean, I'm only 29, I turned 30 years soon. Clearly, John David Crow's, even his time as AD and stuff was before my time. But I've really enjoyed today's show. I tweeted this out a while ago. It's sad to have to talk about it, but today's show's been one of my favorites to get some of the perspectives on some of these guys of a person that everyone has heard about. but not a lot of people these days really know about because he was so far before their time. So like I said, today's been an interesting show for me.
Well, there still is. It's also a reminder that you're young. You've got a lot of good stuff, hopefully, ahead of you to do, because when we talked about the Billy Pickards and the Charlie Thomases and the John David Crow, it's what they were able to do, because there's a coach in Northeast Louisiana. Louisiana Monroe has now retired, like he said. He's doing some radio work, but his life was heavily influenced by John David Crow. And the list goes on and on. And then think of all the kids that he may get up to go to class in his 15 years or long of being Louisiana Monroe's head baseball coach. So once again, how many lives did John David Crow influence? And that's just one of his coaches.
Yeah. Right, and that's really the how you know, I mean, the legacy of someone is what people say you know, about him once they're gone. And there's been no shortage of outpourings today. I know, Sam, you'll want to check it out in the paper tomorrow. I've been working all day on the story. And it's interesting for him, you know, to write, because, you know, there's different stories that are coming out. Every outlet is going to do their different mm-hmm. story on John David Crow, and everyone's got their own different perspectives. But it's interesting for me to listen to him on the phone with people today, because he didn't go to A&M. Sam hasn't been around here very long, I guess about 10 months now. But to hear him learn about John David Crow through everybody today has been fascinating also, because, you know, around here he's just a guy that everyone knows who John David Crow is when you say John David Crow. And to hear someone learn about him today has been certainly something different in the newsroom as well. But there you go.
He's from Nebraska, and I would equate it to if Nebraska, when they lose Tom Osborne. We're all going to die sometime, but Tom Osborne had that kind of impact. We saw by John David Crow what he was able to do here at Texas A&M. And I think what we are able to show in the show, he did the same thing in Louisiana. There's people in Louisiana right. think that John David Crow also walks on water in two states.
Yeah.
So maybe more. I don't. We have San Francisco because he played in San Francisco. So, guess maybe we should try to get somebody from his pro career.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to read all the stories in the next couple of days.
Yeah,
we're gonna go to break. When we come back, it'll be time for the high school report. Stay with us. This has been Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Bill Oliver at the News Update on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. Texas A&M football has announced the death of John David Crow. July 8th would have marked Crow's 80th birthday. First Aggie to win the Heisman Trophy, Crow graduated in 1958, was a four-time NFL Pro Bowl pick before retiring in 1969. Returned to Aggieland in 1983 as an associate athletic director, served as AD from 1988 through 93, and remained active with the university after retiring. Authorities still looking for a man who committed an armed robbery last night in the parking lot of the College Station apartment complex. Police responded to the call just after 7 last night at Campus Village Apartments. Victim says someone he didn't know pulled down a handgun and ran away with an undisclosed amount of money. Bryan police arrested a man on Tuesday accused of trying to cash a forged check at the Wells Fargo Bank in front of the Westside Walmart. Online jail records indicate 36-year-old Edward Figures of Bryan was booked on a total of 13 crimes to date back 2 years, and he was ordered to serve 6 months for criminal cases in 2002 and 2004. Another arrest for Bryan police on Tuesday involved two women caught on video using laundromat machines without paying. 42-year-old Angel Aguina Lemus was arrested for using a wire from a bra to trigger the coin-operated washers and dryers, while a neighbor, 53-year-old Olga Sanchez, washed and dried her clothes. It's been a year since Bryan Mayor Jason Bayinski first talked about the idea of a super park. On WTAW's The Infomaniacs, he says the full council supports the idea.
Well, we've been off and on talking about a super park here recently in executive session at City Council. We're working with several landowners in the city of Bryan to possibly donate some acreage for a super park.
Bayinski says the council's exploring combining donated land with a recently expanded definition of spending hotel occupancy tax money to develop a super park. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Bill Oliver on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
It's time to vote for your favorite business in the Brazos Valley. This is the 15th anniversary of the Best of the Brazos. Voting for who you like best in food, fun, health, and everything that makes this the best place to live. You can vote online at bestofthebrazos.com or pick up a ballot at Prosperity Bank, Trisha Barksdale, Copy Bridge, and Remax Bryan College Station. It's the best that money can't buy. Voting ends July 5th, so cast your vote now for the Best of the Brazos.
You are a smart person. You know what side the butter goes on. You can't help but bark up the right tree. You even know who let the dogs out. So in your search for the perfect job, why aren't you using AggielandHelpWanted.com, where smart people like you know the easy way to find a local job? Millions of other smart people know they can upload their resume for free in just minutes. Plus, it's smart and mobile-friendly, just like that science guy. So, smart person, use that freakishly large noodle and find a job on AggielandHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
For your car, your home, your business too, Acme Glass takes care of you. For over 60 years, we're the clear leader. Our quality and value keep shining through. For repair and replacement on all kinds of glass, you can trust Acme.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Cornerstone Home Health, Zwirneman Flooring, The Sleep Station, and Tom Light Chevrolet. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone HD.
More information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. Visit Zone1150.com now. Now, it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Aubrey Bloom, joined by David Campbell for today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. David, you've had a little bit of news today.
I have a little breaking news today. Kristen Grimes is going to be the new head volleyball coach at College Station High School. And if the name is not familiar, maybe you might remember her as Kristen Shevikovin, who played for Lori Corbelli for 3 years at Texas A&M. So she came, actually transferred in here as a sophomore and was a setter out there, really an outstanding player for A&M. And she had taken a job at Longview Spring Hill, but when this job opened up, when Stephanie Cohn moved on, she was recommended by John Corbelli and will be hired, I guess, officially next week. But she basically has been hired for that job, and to me, that's a pretty good job. Stephanie did an outstanding job out there building it, and building it literally from scratch, and took that team to state second year there. So it's a really good high-quality program. But around here, heck, everybody's got good high-quality volleyball programs, it seems, because it's been extremely competitive. But we're going to try – we'll find out more about Coach Grimes, who, by the way, if the name Grimes sounds familiar to you, it's Lee Grimes. She's married to Lee Grimes, who played for Texas A&M in football.
Oh, so. Yeah.
So he was, a 3-year starter as well, if I'm not mistaken, with the Aggies. I know he played at A&M and played briefly, I think, prior to an injury in the NFL as well. So that's I think it's a great addition, and we have really good volleyball coaches in town. We've had really good volleyball coaches in town. So I think when you have good ones leave and you can replace them with good ones, I think we all kind of benefit from that. But the plan there is to talk to Kristen this evening. We can get in touch with her, and we'll have a story about that in the paper tomorrow if I can get it written. and then I'm going to also, as we leave here, probably head out to the tennis today as the capture Grand Slam is continuing today. And Aubrey, it's been absolute total guesswork as to what time anybody's going to play any match. They moved a bunch of these indoors today. The girls' 12 semifinals were wrapping up just a few minutes ago. Our photographer Dave McDermott was out there shooting a photo for tomorrow's paper as well for the girls' 12. And then I'm going to drive out to A&M, and I'll probably cover whoever I can find who's playing at the time that I get out there, you know, because it's been... I've had these great story ideas, or at least I like to think they were good story ideas, and hadn't been able to pull them off. So we'll see.
Yeah, something about tennis and the weather in this town just doesn't seem to want to go together recently.
Well, you know, I'd kind of forgotten, but we had bad weather that blew through in November when we had the team tennis come in, and they postponed that a day. They just said, oh, let's just not even do it the first day. And so they postponed team tennis for a day, and so we had rain that came in there. And, of course, we had some of those ridiculous delays at the UIL State Tournament where they had matches going on at 4 a.m. Well, at least the Grand Slam folks didn't do that. They got to the indoor courts a lot quicker than the UIL made the decision to do that. And now the sun's shining. You know, now you look outside.
For now, yeah. You know, yeah. It's pouring earlier. We had like about an inch of rain here in Bryan in about an hour, and then it's back. So what's on? Who are you going out to see? What's the plan now? Do you know?
Well, my plan actually was to cover Fernanda Contreras Gomez, who's the number one seed in the girls 18, and she's playing a semifinal this afternoon. And the logic in doing that was that she went through that tournament back where they were rained out on Tuesday, like we were rained out on Tuesday, and she went on and won the 6A championship. So apparently she knows how to handle rain maybe a little bit better than the rest of us do. And the fact that the reason she wasn't up at 4 a.m. playing matches at the time was she got hers over with a lot quicker. She won pretty handily and pretty quickly. But, man, I'm telling you, we have all of our local folks are out of that tournament now, so nobody's playing even at the consolation round. And it is, but it does continue today. And if you really want to see really high-quality tennis, it's a good place to watch it because even with all the really good local tennis that we've had this year, this is above and beyond. These are some of the very best players in the state.
How many? We had the guy on last week that's in charge, but you know, you mentioned how many players were to start. Where are they at now? I mean, I think you mentioned this, but how many people are left? Where can people go see it? All the stuff that people need to know.
Basically, now they're at the semifinals, and the championship matches will be tomorrow, and they're playing all those at the Mitchell Tennis Center out at Texas A&M. Maybe some of the others are wrapping up at a few other places, but they had played a lot of them at the intramural courts. But we've had them at Rutter. We've had them at Bryan. We've had them all over town. I mean, Miramont has hosted matches. I covered one out there the other day. And so everybody in town gets involved with this thing. It is an extremely big tournament. We had actually hoped to have Steve Huff on today to talk about the hiring of Kristen Grimes and just to talk about football, and a little misconnection there today. And Steve may be underwater somewhere for all we know.
Well, you know, it's summertime, and people, you know, you forget when you got stuff going on and different things.
It's funny. I actually ran into Coach Huff yesterday, and we talked about that. And he said, well, I can do it tomorrow afternoon. And I probably could have interviewed him then, but we didn't do it at the time. And so we decided we'd have, but I didn't know I was going to be have an 11:20 match delayed to 3:30, and he probably didn't know that he had who knows what comes up for an athletic coordinator at any of the high schools this time of year. It's busy time of year.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the, you know, talking about getting ready for football. It's not that far away, as crazy as it sounds like. You know, and we're only about, well, I guess about a month and a half away from August. People starting to come back and get everything ready to go.
Yeah, and if you didn't have have spring drills, which everybody in town did this year, everybody had spring practices. All of our 5A schools did this time. Brenham didn't, but everybody else in 5A in our area did. Then you're gonna start first week of August. So we're really, you're right. I mean, we're well into June, and then enjoy your July. We'll have coaches school toward the end of July, coaching school, and a lot of the coaches will be going to that, which will be kind of their last get together before they start handing out equipment. And now it's basically the second week of August for for our 5A schools around here.
Though. Are you a, if you were a coach, do you like the spring practice or would you take the fall practices?
I used to think otherwise, but I kind of think it gives these guys a pretty good insight into some of the guys that are going to be, you know, what they're going to be able to do early. And so I think they go in now with probably a better feel for the summer if they have the spring out there. Now, it's not like a when you get into August, you're preparing for the season. I mean, you're out there, you're going hard, and maybe you're not going quite as hard. You're working on maybe less really specific things when you're doing it in the spring. And you got an idea of who some of the competitive kids are, things like that. But it does have one downside if you've got kids, particularly at smaller schools, and these are all smaller schools for A&M Consolidated and for Bryan. I mean, they've come down a classification. You've got them playing baseball. You've got them running track. You've got a lot of things that go on in the spring. So you have to share them, and you have to figure out ways to do that. And you know, we had the other day talking to Will Compton, and he was talking about doing the Monday, Wednesday, Friday practices, which seemed like a pretty good idea to me. You kind of work around, you know, what everybody else is doing. Now, you don't have a baseball player who's going to be out there on Friday, but then you don't have to worry about that Tuesday baseball game either.
Yeah, it seems to me that, you know, on a basic level, those extra days in the fall would be worth it. But maybe, you know, these days as many kids are involved in summer weightlifting and 7-on-7 and stuff like that, maybe it kind of gets people, you know, into the summer season more so than maybe it would have 10 years ago.
Yeah, I can buy that logic. I think that's probably true. 7-on-7 has become something that's obviously really, really big for a lot of people. Some people emphasize it obviously a lot more than others. David Raphael talked the other day about how it's a big deal for them. That's part of their training thing. They want their kids to be involved 7-on-7. They want them to be playing in the state tournament. That's why they host a tournament, because they want to have that advantage to get a team there and keep things going. But there are others who emphasize 7-on-7, but they don't really emphasize 7-on-7. You know what I mean? They want their guys to be out there kind of, you know, working together. And I think that's maybe one of the big – everybody talks about what the offensive guys do. You know, you get a chance to show off your receivers. You get a chance to show off your quarterback. And even the defensive backs, even though they have to run around the field and chase a whole lot of people, it's not exactly the way they're doing it when they're in pads on Friday night. So I don't know how much 7-on-7 pays off from that standpoint. But the big 7-on-7 tournament is going to be here again this year. And I hope, you know, I hope they worked out, because I know it was a pain for a lot of people to get onto the field and to get in position to cover it last year. I didn't cover it, so I wouldn't, and I will this year. But I know it was a pain. But we had a lot of construction that was going on around there at that time last year. So, plus everybody had to learn, hey, this is not Texas A&M. We're not going to the place we've gone to as long as it's been here. And and quite honestly, the Aggies had a better setup than anybody in town, and I think they've done a nice job of trying to come up with a backup, thanks to first the SEC and then the NCAA. And don't get me started on, like, just leave us alone and let us do what's working, and don't set up rules. I don't like that from any governing body. Don't tell us how to do things. That's like we don't have high school all-star games,
right?
And because the NCAA tells me that we can't have a high school all-star game. You can't tell me. Yeah, I mean, we see the NCAA headlines all the time. You can't tell me the Texas High School Coaches Association isn't more important than the NCAA. If they did a stare down, who wins that, you know?
Yeah, it's certainly one of the more annoying things recently. But, again, should be an interesting summer. 7-on-7 gets cranked up around here. It is interesting to see. We've talked about before, and this is kind of a bigger conversation, but about 7-on-7, it's fascinating to me how it helps really specific things, namely just the timing between quarterbacks and the receivers.
Yeah.
But that has come so far from what it was, you know, a few years ago, back when, you know, everyone's trying to get back. You know, the players had a workout program over the summer, you know, when I was in high school, and everyone had the different speed camps and different things that they went to and all that stuff. But there was still about a week and a half of trying to get back in that timing when you first got to practice that now they don't really have. I mean, they're, as far as the timing of the offense goes, they're usually ready to go as soon as they step out there.
Yeah, they are, and they're ready to do. And I always wonder, you know, I mean, what would you do? Well, you got, I mean, you still got running teams out there. You got a Liberty Hills who's still running the slot T. I mean, what? Are they penalized by this? Or,
yeah,
or how does that work exactly?
I've wondered how you know, East Bernard and the Rogerses and the schools.
Yeah, now Rogers began slightly to shift away from that last year, but Rogers is a pretty good example. East Bernard, another one that's, you know, and these are good teams that have gone to like championship games that run that kind of offense, but I don't see how you can do that in the summer. I mean, I don't see how you got to be able to put on some pads and run over somebody.
Yeah,
to do
certainly
that,
for that
kind of stuff. I don't have my Texas football yet. Do you have it? Have you?
I haven't got mine yet either.
All right, I and here's why I don't.
Well, I went on a rant about it earlier this week about the cover, so I'm almost not buying it out of protest.
All right, I'm going to buy it because I always buy it, and I always go to the store to get it, so I won't order it online. So I probably could already have it if I'd ordered it online. Can I tell you my opinion of the cover? While I agree with their assessment, I'd love to see the game played again. I want it on Thanksgiving. I want it to be the way it was as much as it can be with the conferences being separated. I don't think Texas football's cover was where that
needed,
that argument needed
to be made. Yeah, but that's what we talked about the other. Me and Cease talked about that on the show on Monday because that was kind of my big point of, yeah, I agree too. I've made that clear several times, but it's not the right place. I was a little, and my big point was it takes away from a school or a person that could have been on the cover, which is always such a special thing. I mean, I know that anytime you're featured in Texas football, even if it's the black and white photos in the back, everyone gets excited about that. And this year, no one's on the cover. There's no, basically, you're saying the face of Texas football in 2015 is a game that's not happening. And that's a little bit annoying. So I wasn't a huge fan.
You could take it. I mean, what if you took. Let's say we took who are the great dynasties of Texas high school football, because you got a team in Cameron right here in the area that's going for a four-peat. I mean, you put yourself among the elite of all time.
Well, I thought they could have taken the chance to emphasize rivalries that we do have, whether it's And someone texted, why does Dave have to buy his own magazine?
That's pretty good. I used to tell people when I was a kid that was my name on the cover, but I don't buy
sadly
that anymore.
Yeah. Either the high school rivalries, I think, would have been good. I think in you could have made the same point, and then on the cover had, you know, without A&M Texas, what's the best rivalry in the state? You could have featured some college ones. Certainly TCU-Baylor has a great chance this year, and it's really taken off. They are actually playing on Thanksgiving week this year. I'm talking about that earlier in the week. But also some of the high school ones I thought would have been interesting, too. You could have featured the Bell game, two teams that are both really good right now.
Who played each other twice for the first time last year.
Yeah, and I thought it would have been a good opportunity to kind of do that. Without A&M Texas, what are the best rivalries in Texas?
I don't have a problem with the story being in Texas football.
No, the story's fine. I'm sure it's great.
I haven't read it, obviously.
Yeah.
But the cover, I don't want Texas football to be an advocacy cover. People argue about whoever's on there that's advocacy anyway, which
it
it's
is.
Not.
Well,
I don't think.
But
if I was going to put a rivalry on there after what happened last year, I'd probably put TCU and Baylor on it this year.
Well, and they're both, you know, going to be in the top 10 to start the season, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, that's our rant of the day on the high school.
All right. Thanks for pulling it in. We'll get Steve Huff on it, and we'll catch up on all this stuff. But that is big news that Christian Grimes, who coached at A&M, getting that job at College Station. Larry and I have talked many times before that Stephanie Cohn we think she's a terrific coach, and we really like her and hate to see her leave. But I think this is a really, really good hire. And College Station ISD's done a tremendous job of coming up with hires for for their coaching vacancies in volleyball.
There you go. We'll have to get her on the show soon and see her thoughts on coming back to town. That was today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break. We'll come back and wrap up with the news. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles.
And right now, get the best deal of the spring with the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder, complete with a $300 factory rebate and a $500 cash rebate. Only $12,195 or 10% down and payments of only $162 per month. Norman G. Tractor asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Need to finance? Norman G. makes it easy with zero down payment and 0% financing on all new Kubota tractors and lawn equipment. And remember, most any trade-in could be your down payment. Norman G. Tractor voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials at normangtractor.com, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G., Texas. And remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor.
If you watch TV, listen to the radio, go to the movies, or simply hear people talking, you hear about prescription drugs and their effects. Sometimes these are portrayed as safe or as something that is meant for a good time. Actually, nothing could be farther from the truth. Prescription drugs are prescribed by a doctor with one person in mind and one reason in mind. That reason is to treat someone for an illness or injury. If you abuse your or someone else's medicine, this could be a prescription for disaster. For more information, call 979-846-3560.
Green Teams welcomes the Texas A&M University Center and Special Events to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Texas A&M Center and Special Events uses Green Teams for interior landscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals for events like weddings and conferences. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior landscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
At Polaris Fun Center in Bryan, ride into summer and get unprecedented rebates for a limited time only. $800 off the Razor XP 1000, $900 off the Sportsman 570, $1,000 off the Polaris Ace, and $1,400 off on the world's best-selling utility side-by-side, the Polaris XP 900. At Polaris Fun Center, get financing as low as 1.99% on every machine in the lineup. The Ride Into Summer sales event at Polaris Fun Center on Texas Avenue in Bryan, where they sell and service fun, not tractors.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Gabe Bach and Rusty Burson interview a former Texas A&M player each Tuesday at 9:35. It's Aggie Flashback on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
This old porch is like a big old red and white perfect bowl, standing under a mesquite tree. I don't know what they'll say, and he just keeps on playing hide and seek with that hot August sun. Just a sweating and a pen, 'cause his work is never done. And this old porch is
welcome
like
back.
Steaming greasy plate of enchiladas.
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom here with Darren to wrap up the show.
Yeah.
It's been a interesting show today, hearing from the different perspectives of John David Crow on the show today. But there's other news going on that you were
other news
here to tell us about.
First, I'll tell you that we will have the latest on John David Crow in tomorrow's paper. We do have lots of photos of him online. There's a photo gallery of John David Crow throughout the years. If you haven't seen him yet, head on over there. It's from his football days, collecting the Heisman Trophy, all the way up to just the most recent, all of the awards he's gotten. So all of the photos that we've collected over the years, you can find at theeagle.com and myaggienation.com. We will have some perspectives from people who knew John David Crow best, including R.C. Slocum, Gene Stallings, Jackie Sherrill. They all remembered him as a humble man, a gentle giant. We are also hearing from people who, just residents in the community, who say, you know, they would just, that he would stop and take time to talk to them. Or we're hearing from people who, you know, who just stopped him on the street and had conversations with him, and all we're remembering is, seems like what they all say is that he was a man who never met a stranger. Like, he was just friendly, he knew everybody. So it's sad to see him go, but take a look in tomorrow's paper. We will have a sort of a nice package of photos and tidbits from people who knew him. In other news, we will tell you about the Juneteenth celebration, which begins today. Tomorrow is technically the official Juneteenth, which is the day that marked the end of slavery in Texas. It's the 150th anniversary of Juneteenth in Texas. So we'll tell you what there was a Freedom March today and an event at the Bush Library. The march went from the Lincoln Recreation Center to the Bush Library, where there was a program. There's also a Freedom Fest at Wolfpin Creek and College Station tonight. There are more activities tomorrow. There is a Blues Fest planned for downtown Bryan Friday night and Saturday night. So we'll have the full list of events. The list of events is currently online at theeagle.com. It was in today's paper. We'll run them again in tomorrow's paper. But we'll tell you some perspectives from the Freedom March today. And, of course, we have some reaction from the people in the Freedom Walk about the shooting in South Carolina last night, sort of about what their perspective on that, how far we've come. We'll also tell you about Brazos County District Attorney Jarvis Parsons has been honored for making a difference in some domestic violence, the lives of domestic violence victims. So we'll tell you who's honoring him and his reaction to that. We also tell you about the Bryan High School class of 2000 is having their 15-year reunion in next month. So we'll tell you what they've got planned. There's an alumni kickball game, a pub crawl. There's some things that are going to benefit some of their classmates. So we'll tell you lots more of that. Of course, it's the we're getting close to the weekend. You can find a list of things to do around town over the weekend that we usually post it on Fridays, but there's a lot of things going on Thursday nights now that we're into the summer. So look for that on Thursday afternoon. It's posted on theeagle.com now, so you can go and find your activities for the weekend. Of course, we have the event calendar. You can always find things to do online.
Cool. Want to thank everyone for being with us today. Today's show is a little bit of a tough one going back and talking about John David Crow through the